Today's interview is with Jill Visit, the founder of The Salad Sling. She developed this product to help her kids eat more healthy foods. Along the way, she learned a lot and shares some of these stories today in terms of how to develop a product inexpensively, how to grow your business on Amazon and on the website as well, and then also how to generate free PR. She recently landed a story on the New York Times without paying a PR agency. It's a great story, and she gives some good advice on how you can do the same for your business. I encourage you to listen. Welcome to another episode of the Harvest Growth Podcast, focused on helping consumer product companies, inventors, and entrepreneurs harvest the growth potential of their product businesses by teaching cutting-edge marketing strategies and interviewing successful marketers, as well as product marketing experts that share their stories to inspire you to achieve hypergrowth for your own business. I'm your host, John LeClaire, founder and CEO of Harvest Growth, and I believe that if you want to make your product the next household name, you just need to follow the right plan, and that even the best products struggle to succeed when they step away from proven strategies that work. And I believe that you can grow profitably, which means you don't need to be a Fortune 500 company or have access to venture capital in order to grow your business. If you'd like to learn more about what we call the perfect launch process for marketing products, check out harvestgrowth.com. And if you still have questions on how you can implement this process for your business, you'll see a link on our homepage to set up a free consultation with one of our product launch specialists. Today, I want to welcome to the show Jill Visit. Now, she's the founder of The Salad Sling. You can check it out at saladsling.com. It's a really cool product to help you and your kids eat more healthy, right? So have better foods in your lives, but making it easy for you. She's a when she had the idea originally, was a relatively new mother, has some small children in her home, and was trying to help them to eat more healthy and didn't have a lot of options out there in terms of making salads, et cetera. So she invented this product, and it's just started to really take off this year. So she has just introduced it as of February 2019, had quite a few sales on Amazon, and recently has some great press in the national press or national media as well that we'll talk about during this interview. So I'm very excited to have Jill on the line today. Jill, thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
So let's talk about your story. So how did you initially invent the Salad Sling?
Yes. So I invented the Salad Sling. I, like you mentioned, like to make healthy foods. You know, I worked at Whole Foods Market for a long time, so I'm into that. And I have a salad spinner, and I didn't like using it. You know, it just sat in the top of my cabinet because it's so big and hard to store. It won't fit in the dishwasher. And so I had this, you know, tool that I never would use. And so I basically started putting salad greens in some dish towels, and I would just sling it around and get water all over my kitchen. And I sort of got busted doing this one time. My husband walked in and kind of, you know, looked at me funny and was like, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, you know, I don't want to use the salad spinner, so I just do this." And he's like, "You know, it's kind of a good idea." And I was like, "Yeah, it kind of is, you know?" So I spent the next 2 years, sort of perfecting it. So I designed it and like figuring out, you know, what kind of handles it should have and what should it be made of. And we tried all different kinds of fabrics and liners and everything like that until we had a prototype that we were really happy with. And so, voila, there's the Salad Sling.
Fantastic. And so I can realize my own problems with the salad spinner. Yeah. But what were the problems that you felt like you experienced that led to the development of this product?
The problems were, you know, it was hard to wash, hard to store, you know, and, you know, I have a pretty decent sized kitchen, but it still, you know, takes up a ton of room in my cabinet. And so it tends to be stored in an inconvenient place on the top shelf. And, you know, it's just not what I want to deal with when you're trying to make dinner quickly for a bunch of people and you're trying to throw together a salad or some greens or, you know, herbs or whatever it is, you know, to wash and dry those things and get all of that equipment out and then wash it after you're done. It's just really not practical for, you know, for anyone really, and especially not, you know, busy families. So that's the problem that I was trying to solve. And I think the great thing about the Salad Sling is that it goes in the washing machine when you're done with it, or you can just, you know, hang it up. It's got a little loop so you can just hang it dry on a hook or a, you know, cabinet door. And so, you know, that problem was solved, and it's basically a towel. So you just fold it and, or roll it up or whatever and shove it in a cabinet. So it takes up, you know, not very much room at all. And so, and it also costs less than the leading salad spinner. So it's kind of a win-win-win.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with you. It's kind of funny. When I first heard about this product to compared it to the salad spinner, I kind of started to think, you know, we have salad in our house probably 3 or 4 nights a week. And to be honest with you, I can't remember the last time we brought out the salad spinner, because it's so up on the top shelf. Like you said, it's hard mm-hmm. to store. And when we do use it, you know, even if you do throw it in the dishwasher, it's easy, but it takes up the entire dishwasher to wash it out. It's just a mess. It makes it that much harder. So we'll usually stick before the salad sling, we would stick it in our salad into like a strainer in the sink and just kind of let it air dry for a bit, pat it dry with a paper towel, which is a real pain as well. And yeah. Of course you got to wash that too. So it's just one of those things. As much as we do salad, I just never thought about how much of a pain that spinner is. We just, it was so bad. We just gave up on it. We don't really use it very often unless we're doing like a special occasion with a lot of lettuce or whatever, having people over or whatever. Right. Like that's a great concept. Great idea. So how'd you go from the idea to with the dish towel to, you know, that you started in testing out to the actual development or design of the final product that we see today?
Well, so what I did was I just got real crafty with it. I, you know, basically I have a sewing machine and I know how to use it a little bit. And so I just started making stuff. Like I went to, you know, the fabric store and just bought everything that looked absorbent and brought it home and dumped a bunch of water on it to see which ones looked like they were kind of, you know, absorbing that water really quickly. And so, you know, that was one piece of it, was kind of testing what are you going to make it out of. And I got all different kinds of liner fabrics, because basically the salad sling is three layers. So it has two absorbent layers on the outside. We landed on a terry cloth microfiber. And then on the inside is a waterproof liner. So you sling it around and the water is contained within. And so the microfiber absorbs all of the surface water so that it doesn't, you know, go back onto the greens. And then this liner in the middle keeps it from flying around. So I then started working on, you know, what should it be like? You know, should it have handles? Should it have loops and stuff? Should it all thread together? Or, you know, should it be like a little bag? Like, should it have a shape? Or should it lay flat? How long should the handles be? You know, and I just started making them. I kind of got a bed sheet and cut it up and just cut out all these different shapes and spun them around and saw what worked. I went to the hardware store and got loops and, you know, gizmos to like attach handles and things like that. And really, where we landed was a really simple design that lays flat. It's got, you know, a really generous inner compartment so that you can put an entire bag of lettuce or a clamshell or, you know, a head of lettuce or whatever it is. You can put that inside, and then, you know, the handles are pretty long so you can really, you know, get some motion on it when you're slinging it. And, you know, and then once we started getting serious and got the, you know, kind of form right, you know, then I started working with manufacturers to get samples of what we thought was, we were kind of honing in on what it would be. And, you know, I was wanting to make it from linen or cotton or, you know, something really like gorgeous and stuff like that. But the microfiber was just hands down, it functioned the very best. And so, we got some bright green microfiber and there we are.
It's a really cool design. I do encourage anyone listening to check it out at saladsling.com. It's a fantastic product too. And, you know, the way you shared that story, I think is a great, simple, straightforward way to produce or to develop a new product that I've seen over and over again, where, you know, so many inventors have an idea and they feel like they have to go hire it out to a prototype developer in the very early stages, which can be very expensive. But in reality, in the very beginning, you want to make sure the concept basically works before you start dumping a lot of money into it. So test, like you did, testing out different fabrics you can do relatively inexpensively. So you're spending, you know, tens or maybe hundreds of dollars on a bunch of different samples to try out and re-sewing them. You know, if it's duct tape or pins or whatever, if you don't know how to sew, for other people out there, just do what you can to make sure the rough concept works. And then with something a little bit more complex, maybe then go to a prototype developer, or as you did with this, you know, you could obviously take care of the final design even on your own, but going through those rounds of testing to make sure that you love the product, because if you do, then it means it's going to work well for others as well. So that's a great summary, I think, of the right way to develop a product. So then from there, fast forward a little bit to February of 2019, which is when you launched this, I believe, on Amazon first. Did you go right away to Amazon?
I did. I went right away to Amazon. You know, Amazon, they certainly charge you for fulfilling and for, you know, their services, but they made it so easy. It was just one less thing that I had to figure out. And so that like removed a barrier to enter the market. So I put them on Amazon and then on my own website, and Amazon fulfills through there too.
And then we were chatting a bit before this phone call, how Amazon has been an important part of your business and remains to be, but a significant part of your sales until very recently. So can you share some new news that just recently came out about your product?
Yes. Yeah, so on October 28th, we were written up in the New York Times. Florence Fabricant got a hold of the Salad Sling and liked it and did a little write-up in her Front Burner article. And so the response to that has been incredible. It's been really amazing. You know, lots of people have reached out. We sold out immediately, which was really stressful. But, you know, I think we're getting back into the swing of it. But yeah, so that has led to other media exposure, and it's just been fantastic. It's really exciting.
Now, did you hire one of those PR agencies to represent you and get you on the New York Times, or how did this happen?
No, it didn't. I didn't. I, you know, I'm still operating on a real shoestring, and, you know, from having worked at Whole Foods, I do know people who do food PR. So that's helpful. And one of those people is a friend of mine, and she reached out to me and she was like, "Hey, you know, this person just wrote an article on, meal prep, and she's talking about greens. You got to send her one of these things." And I was like, "Yeah, great. You know, how do I do it?" And she's like, "Just, you know, she got a website, just write her a note." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, you know, some of these things are so obvious. They seem really hard, and they're not, you know, until someone shows you the way." And so I'm like, "Oh, okay, great." So I just reached out to this reporter. She wrote me back and recommended that I send a sample to her and one other writer at the Times. And I did, and just followed up with them, and they're really wonderful, nice people. And I think they're, you know, they're excited to help inventors, and they're excited to see new products. So, you know, it's been really great. And it's, I think once you get a little bit of attention, then it's much easier to get the attention of other people as well. So that's the next step, is like to continue, you know, reaching out to other people.
Yeah, so smart to take it really, as you mentioned, step by step, right? So it's starting with, you know, maybe Amazon was an easy way to get the business going. And that's, it's very true. It's a very effective way. So start with one step, right? And then grow it from there, grow with your marketing, grow with your PR. And I've seen this over and over again with successful inventors and entrepreneurs like yourself, where they achieve, be it PR in a big outlet like the New York Times or some of our clients on the Good Morning America or Today Show or whatever, or getting into retailers, you know, like Whole Foods or Walmart, Target, et cetera. It's realizing that the people you're dealing with, be they buyers at a retail store, or if they're reporters for the New York Times, they're still people, right? And they're still, they have a job to do. Their job is to, especially with PR, they need to bring and need to share new news. They're always looking for things. So when you've got a great product like that, reach out to them. And you can do that without a big fancy PR agency. And there's certainly a place for PR, right? So at some point, as your business grows, as you know, your team grows, you no longer have time to be constantly reaching out to people. And that's why PR agencies are great. And they do have great relationships and can get you a lot, open a lot more doors for you. Yeah. But in the meantime, you can do it yourself. And you can get these great stories and really capitalize on those. And in your case, generate some fantastic sales out of them as well.
Yeah, it's been amazing.
So what's next for your business?
So what's next is we're about to go into the holidays, and we're excited about that. We've got some, you know, marketing planned and some, you know, bundle deals and things like that. I think they'll make a good stocking stuffer. And then, you know, the next steps really are to get into a retailer. And it's something that I haven't been able to crack yet. You know, those people are really hard to find. And having worked with a lot of buyers at Whole Foods Market, I realize why. You know, everybody wants to reach out to them, and everybody's trying to contact them. And so it's hard to break through the noise of that. And so I have reached out to a couple of retailers, haven't had success because, you know, the margins aren't quite where they want them to be. So I've got to figure that out. But I think that's probably the next step would be either to, you know, get into some major retailers, you know, and or to license the product to someone who has existing relationships with buyers and retailers and stuff like that. So that's kind of, it's a bit unknown right now, but those are my goals.
Good, good. Well, it's, you know, I've always found you got to keep your goals directional, right? Because you never know what's lying around the next corner. Keep your business going and growing and moving forward and looking for the next opportunity, knowing what you essentially want for the business, but not maybe knowing the exact path to get there. And you kind of figure some of these pieces out as you go. And when you have a fantastic product like yours, I'm sure you'll get there, right? So the retail will happen. You've got some things to figure out, as you mentioned, with margins and things like that. But the nice thing is when you start out with an e-commerce business selling direct to consumer like you are right now, it gives you a lot of that flexibility in the beginning. So you've got revenue coming in that can drive forward towards the next step. And it's in the meantime also giving you notoriety, right? Getting you stories in the New York Times. It's getting you visibility on Amazon and your website, and that's generating these sales, which will eventually lead, I'm sure, to knocking down some doors in these retailers also. So is there any question that I haven't asked that you think would be helpful for our audience of inventors and entrepreneurs?
You know, the thing that has worked for me, I guess, I find this to be so difficult. everything about it, you know, I'm a graphic designer and that's what I know how to do. So designing the label for the Salad Sling was easy and everything else was really difficult. And so what I have tried to do that has worked for me is to just compartmentalize everything and just focus on one hurdle at a time, you know, like how do you import stuff? What is a tariff code? Things like that, where it's just, you know, and it's difficult because I'm 42 and, you know, I've had a career. I've been doing well. I've been knowing how to do stuff and managing people and, you know, for 20 years. And so I'm like used to this level of comfort in what I'm doing every day. And inventing a product is the opposite of that, where I'm back at square one. I have no idea what I'm doing and I'm just trying to figure it out as I go. And it's very uncomfortable. And I think that that's probably good for me in the long run, you know, to do something different and learn something new at middle age. But I think, you know, it can be overwhelming. And so the way that I've tried to tackle it is just to take it one day at a time and just, you know, admit that I don't know it and do the best I can and move forward and figure it out and move on to the next thing.
Yeah, well said. It's really embracing the discomfort and realizing that you're not the only one going through it, right? So everyone who has ever launched a product, your first time especially, but frankly, even, you know, we've done hundreds of products with our clients and we still feel that discomfort because it's different every time, right? You don't know exactly what triggers are going to work. Now, it helps the more you've done, you know, what to look for, et cetera, but it's the discomfort in my mind that leads to the genius, right? Or the success behind it, because it opens up your creativity. It opens up your eyes towards more possibilities and keeps you focused on that business. And just realizing you're not the only one going through it is I think very helpful. It's, you know, many have been through it before, and, you know, using, I imagine you've done this as well, but using, be it Facebook groups or, you know, other groups that are out there to associate with other people, like-minded people to learn from and pass and share intel and information back and forth as well. So yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Sure.
So I do want to mention that Jill has offered a 10% discount to any of our listeners if you use promo code HARVESTGROWTH10. So HARVESTGROWTH10, the numbers at the end. You'll get a 10% discount off of your purchase at saladsling.com. I'll put that in the show notes as well if you want to check it out on the podcast listing. But Jill, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time today and your insights that you've shared with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's been fun.
Thank you for your valuable insights and for taking the time to share your story. Our audience of inventors, entrepreneurs, and product marketers will benefit greatly from what you've taught us today. For the listeners, go to their website to learn more. Also, be sure to check out harvestgrowthpodcast.com to see other episodes that we have recorded. And if you like this episode and you want to learn more about how you can profitably grow your consumer product business, please subscribe to our show and leave us a review on iTunes or Google Play.